Yo, folks, here I be, Diamond D, as you see, about to come to you. I got my brother, one of the great poets, now exiled, one of the great poets of the Tenderloin in San Francisco, now exiled in San Antonio, waiting on the line. Waiting on the line, and we got Sauer. Ron Sauer, one of the lights of North Beach here, live in the studio. And we got Jerry, one of the sages of the street sheet. So hang on in. Let's, but why don't we kick that off with the Star Spangled Banner. Take it away, Brother David.
You will stand quietly. You will pay attention. Any questions? Now stand up and keep your mouth shut.
That's America KKK said, keep your mouth shut, but here's a man all the way from San Antonio, Texas. Thanks to the phone line, I'm talking about my brother who does not keep his mouth shut. Hey, Ed Bowers, welcome to Enemy Combatant Radio.
Hello, Dave.
Okay, it's good to hear your voice. Good to have you on the air. Hey, you got, I think you have something. Let's kick it off. You got something to read. A man who would not keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, that's what I do. I read. Power
okay.
And control over the individual is the norm. The state is a serial killer. Itinerant starving artists in the 21st century techno-zen. 21,000 centuries of powerhouse opportunities. In the shirt-sticking heat inside the world's largest media company, is now poised to throw out most of its old clothes and devour a few melancholy itinerant artists who have suffered dozens of bouts of malaria at a surprise party where they are too broke to get sick and leave the VIP tent with dignity. Listen to the following testimony from an artist of distinction. Quote, all I ever wanted to do was express myself and leave a pertinent message behind for my fellow mesenchymal precursor cells so that I might give rise to cartilage, bone, fat, and muscle, then get wild with a few off-the-shelf medicines. Well, make love to yourself if you can't take a joke, unquote. And he is only one of the many unsung heroes of the Vincent van Gogh Brigade. Jesus Christ, the Three Stooges, and history will one day understand that this fickle, suicidal, bloody, feverish tendency to make a life a living, entertaining hell for the creative impulse is precipitated entirely by amnesia. The goddamned artists are trying to get crustaceans to remember details nice people want to forget. What we want is blood and guts. Come see the human function be replaced by a chainsaw of ready-to-wear world events distributed mainly through small boutiques and advertised on oversized screens, revealing a giant malignant tumor painted sky blue on big boobs by efficient puke-green caterpillars at the rear end of a porn store, just beyond the shelves holding up boxes of red lobsters, tainted with hepatitis. The mythically degenerate, poetic, underground, anarchist, beatified artists of San Francisco and New York City have been tax-deducted and reduced to poet laureates for nests of hornets and pit bulls, who exists to ensure that there are no more radical mistakes made and no mercy to misfits given unless based on the results of successful decisions that were made before they were made. It is in modern times we live, and many of our number are about to be extinct biotic communities. Techno-Zen is in. To bake the cake of proper impressions and pronouncements, marry the same rational decision for 33 years, be a fixture in society columns, and pass legislation that anyone caught without a license to be happy must be ignored. The middle of the holy road is clearly becoming an increasingly demonic place to be, with traffic approaching from both directions. My sympathies. This is progress. We were starving for glamour before it came to this. Warning, this emergency situation primarily affects only the poorest of wireless providers who are willing to find unknowns. Everyone else is either on top of an actress who loves coconut shrimp or is likely to step on your feet and politely shove you under a suicide bridge when you wander too far in front of the godly camera. Funny thing about the present. When it gets old, if honesty is left within the mind of any member of any generation, there is a vague feeling of shame. Beware. Most of us, all of us, die. In the meantime, we will stupidly battle loan processors, stretch quiet time, and extend short ends of life for extended vacation on holidays. Beware the opinions of the group mind.
Oh, hey, Ed Bowers. That was pretty cool. What do you call that?
Itinerant starving artists in the 21st century, Techno Zen.
Itinerant
starving artists.
Itinerant starving artists in the 21st century, Techno Zen. Is that it?
Yep,
we're about
it.
To put it up there. We're just putting it up. Hey, look, I was just thinking. That was my brother, our brother Ed Bowers, still doing it in exile in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Ed, I just had that. This show begins as every Thursday, at 8:30. If you're around, just as it used to come to the Brainwash on a regular basis way back then, could I ask you to do a poem or a prose piece or something each? Yeah, let's do it. Somebody will give you. It will give us.
It's been so painful since I got here that I've been writing a lot.
Well, shoot. Well, this would be great, eh? This would give me something to look forward to. Give us something all to look forward to, and you can put it around the planet. Put it around the planet, thanks to Enemy Combatant Radio. You're definitely one of those here in San Francisco, but flowing around the planet.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. That'd be great.
That would
be.
What do you think?
Honored. Thank you.
And so you've just been hired as our regular, our potent residence.
Well,
in exile.
In
resident. Okay. Hey, Ed Bowers, so we're going to take it out with some Texas blues. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Keep up the good work, brother. Do you have any last words for all the folks out here still here in San Francisco?
Just sit silently and you will be saved. I don't know. What the hell? I don't know. Just, I want to get back. That's all.
Anybody hey, brother. It? We really miss you. Keep up the good work. And here's some blues from Texas.
All right.
There you go.
Well, they say it's a heck of a party, a real pork barrel of fun. You'll meet some powerful folks who tell good Clinton jokes, so if you've got the means, please come. They say come on down to the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. It's the hard-right radical Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll meet Tom DeLay, time delay. He runs the House majority. Everybody calls him the hammer, 'cause he pounds out loyalty. He's got the juice, he's got the power to crush his enemies. He just took out his Bowie knife and cut and sliced and diced and stole 7 more House seats. Yeah, they cheat all they want at the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. 'Cause the Supremes back them up at the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll meet Kenny Boy, Mr. Bush's best buddy. He was riding so high in the conservative sky till Enron crashed into bankruptcy. And you can use the F word with Dick Cheney and his secret task force on energy. Well, it's certain they ain't hurting. They're in bed with Halliburton. It's the corporate welfare queen. Yeah, it's the crony old boys Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. It's the hard right radical corporate welfare party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll meet the boy genius, Karl Rove, the Mayberry Machiavelli. He'll do political tricks with wedge issue tactics while the choir sings on key of how voodoo economics will guarantee prosperity. Razzle dazzle, hocus pocus, it's a fuzzy math voodoo scheme. Yeah, it's tax cuts for the rich at the plutocratic party in Houston, Texas, D.C. It's the war on the poor robber baron party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll see the right-wing echo chamber and the Fox News TV crew. Well, they say their on-air talents are always fair and balanced, and somehow millions believe it's true. You'll see Hannity and O'Reilly, Coulter and Savage, both will rail. You know they got a hammer lock on radio talk if they can keep Rush out of jail. Yeah, they're turned up loud at the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. It's the media conglomerate Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll see the Reverends Jerry, Pat, Billy, and Franklin. Well, they're all so squeaky clean. Yeah, they want to get the government off our backs so they can put it between our sheets. Yeah, they don't like stem cell research. They don't care if it could cure disease. They sound just like Ayatollahs, claiming God has told us we need a fundamentalist theocracy. And they're pontificating down at the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. They've been anointed by God at the Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. You'll see the ghost of Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. He'll be visible out on the veranda, laughing at the irony of how the grand old party of Abe Lincoln, thanks to Richard Nixon's Southern strategy, turned the Jim Crow states into Karl Rove's base, and now Lincoln has to whistle Dixie. Yeah, it's the neo-Confederate Republican Party in Houston, Texas, Dixie. It's the Hard Ride Radical Stars and Bars Party in Houston, Texas, Dixie. So bring your checkbook on down to Houston and meet the Hard Ride Royalty. You'll eat pork rinds with Poppy and the Energy Lobby while Brother Jeb waits in the wings. But if you're a middle-class man or woman in Ohio, New York, or Illinois, just send your taxes straight down to Texas to support them crony old boys. Yeah, it's the Crony Old Boys Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C. It's the Hard Right Radical Republican Party in Houston, Texas, D.C.
Here's some Texas blues. Hang on in. Yo, we had Houston, that's a Texas Blue, that's Stumbling. And here with a B selection here, he said, I got a response. Here's Ed, what do you call this poem?
Houston, Texas.
Hugh, give it to us, Ed.
We are mostly space, sitting, waiting, basically good, non-judgmental, nothing abstract, but within rational looming time-space programs, amplification patterns echo with dangerous presentiments of ego viruses, politicking grains of dust, smoking, eating, planning, my left knee weakened by ankle bracelets on shopping carts, and homeless debris panhandling on meridians, turning the color of money and dead snake skin, teeming with microscopic adaptations, vaulting beyond the solar system, dancing on my grave, silently encapsulating me, or us, or you, or anything unexplainable or rare. This is a hard, mean city. Nothing poetic about it. No hidden meaning here. I have to respect it, though. It mirrors America in a rather humorous way.
Hey, Ed, that was it. And we had this Ed, formerly of San Francisco, Houston, Texas, now Sandon. And hey, Ed Bowers, Ed Bowers, one of our far-flung poet correspondents. We'll talk to you next week. We'll hear from you next week. San Francisco, San Antonio, come on back. But until you do, you got a place here on Enemy Combatant Radio. So, Ed, really good hearing from you.
All right, great hearing from you.
Great, and here being my brother over 20 years, maybe a quarter century. Ron Sauer has held up that banner in North Beach and is here right now. So, Ron, you got a couple poems. You got three poems you're going to read. So, by all means, hey, Ron, welcome to Enemy Combatant Radio. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. This is a happening event, I can tell. Okay. It's really cool. Hearing from you, Ed. Okay, so I'm going to jump right in with this one. It's called Sun. S-U-N, Sun. Sun, you kiss me with your full warm lips, unreservedly, without any of those you'd better wait until tomorrow's. All past and future moments melt in the crucible of your touch. You take my face in palms of honey, as slow, as sure as the ascending saps. Your fingers have reached me just like that, with all your gold ringing at the door of my skin, and nothing for sale, so we can begin. You're delicious, nutritious, cornucopic, a hot peach, or I swarm for you. Bees, these words drunk at your great flowering brim. You give me your love, your warmth, your gold, your hope, and you never wanted me to get a job.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. This is called Dream. Goes, there were lizards here and there on the floor, not unlike the ones in Escher, but very still and a sandy green. It could have been Cairo or Mazatlan. Smoke was creeping up the walls from cigarettes smoked beneath the floor by elegant women who were trapped and bored. As the smoke rose, it went from gray to green, forming leafy vines that were quite serene. The women giggled, which clinked their ice, and asked themselves if it wasn't nice. And the lizards, each with a passion that they ignored, dreamed of sailing, but studied law.
Yo! And you got a third. Hey, Ed, this is good. We're going to be doing this every week. I'll try to get Charlie or something up here next week. I will get Charlie up here. We'll have this give and take. I think we're on to something, eh?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
You are.
Okay, now for his final piece.
Out of the politics and into the love realm?
Oh, before you go, you and I go all the way back. Before you go to your final piece, Ron, you and I go back, I believe, to one of the first of this whole series of open mics that went back. We went back to the old spaghetti factory, wasn't it?
Oh, even before then, to the farm.
Oh, I thought the farm was after that.
Yeah, I guess the farm was after that, because that's like the late 70s, huh?
Yeah, middle 70s, late 70s
right.
Was the spaghetti
Jack
factory.
Muller was having that reading deck there at Freddie Coos' place, the spaghetti factory. Breaks one's heart to think about those days, huh?
Yeah.
Sure, well, we're still going. Where did you come from? When did you get here?
I'm from New York fucking city.
Oh, you are? Right now I can hear it. Now you're saying it well.
I love the
I'm a happy refugee from New York.
For quite some time.
I love the accent.
I got a conscientious... Yeah. I'm glad I got out. If it hadn't been for the alternative service with the conscientious objector thing, I probably never would have escaped New York. But they forced you to leave your home to do the alternative service. So I had to go at least 50 miles from New York City. So where was I going to go? You know, this was the only logical place.
So you came. So your first day, your first time, times here, your first months here, you were doing alternative service. Where was that?
Yeah, for the Department of Mental Health. I walked into the Cafe Trieste in the spring of 1971, and there was Bob Kaufman.
Sure.
And I had been reading Rambo. I was up to my ears in Rambo. And I didn't even know who Bob Kaufman was at that point. I walked into the Trieste, and he grabbed me by the arms, and he swung me around, and he said, "Rambo! Rambo!" I mean, he literally just read my mind.
Sure.
And it was just incredible. Yeah. I thought, who is this guy? It was a little scary. You can read my mind,
sure.
You know?
Well, he was the first one I met here, too, but that was 1957, when I first walked up Grant Avenue into the place. And it was early in the afternoon, the places where everybody hung out. It was bad. It was rough. It was the place. It was the secret place. It was the real deal. That's where they all were. Kerouac and Cassidy and everybody hanging out in that little place. It's farther up Grant Avenue. Right. Then it was about two blocks up from the place on the other
gallery.
Side of the street. Yeah.
Right.
Across from the coffee gallery.
Yeah.
It was called The Place. And I walked in, and he was there. And I first, it was Kenneth Rexroth and Henry, an article by Kenneth Rexroth that brought me in Nation Magazine, February 22nd, 1957, that something was happening in San Francisco, and the New Bohemia. And I said it was there, and I got put out my thumb and left Minneapolis, Minnesota. And soon I found myself walking up Grant Avenue, per the instructions of Rexroth, past I stopped at Spitty City Lights, a much smaller place there. The window was entirely filled with copies of Howell. The case had just been dropped. They had just been acquitted. Shig and Ferlinghetti and then walked up to the place, and and he said, "Welcome," he said Bob Kaufman. He still had full command of his faculties. He was an amazing short talker, amazing conversationalist. This was even before the Abonymous Manifesto. It was in about April of 1957. And he was like a 32, and he told me about being in the merchant and all of that. And but anyway, and I read Rex Ross. I had read Henry Miller.
That's the next trial. 3 months later in New York for Tropic of Cancer.
And I was thinking of him. It was Miller who brought me up, Kenneth Patchum. They were like the precursors, Rexroth, Miller and Patchum, to the Beat Generation.
Exactly.
And I was thinking of Miller because of his book. Have you ever read his book on Rambo called The Time of the Assassins?
Sure.
It's a great read.
It's a great read.
Everybody out there, I'm sure it hasn't been taken out of the library for quite some time, but check out Henry Miller's Time of the Assassins. It's about Rambo, Verlet, and that whole era, that whole time. Time of the Assassins. Definitely highly recommended from Diamond D and Ron Sauer right here. But anyway, Ron.
Okay, a love poem for Rebecca, my beautiful girlfriend. And so it goes, relishing each other, myself laying high in conditions of rapture. Our night limbs enveloped in furs of affection, moonlight laughing down on my much vanquished insomnias, with sleep stretched long like taffy, and become something of a slow rocking train of faith and belief. or a single warm exhalation of stars, even lost on the blue-veiled borders and assumptions of personality, as I wondered, were they my pleasures or hers that conjoined the lost differences? Knee-deep in the dark, sweet pool of its ambiguity, reality become an embellishment rather than a cold, hard fact. My old fears, it now seems, were mere ballast of baroque silver, heirlooms of nothingness, become as fine and light as perishable as the stars when polished by the fleet transparency of days, and lifted like a high mind into suspended identity. Endangered, I'll recall for the fun of it, because I was spared at the hour of our lover's ascendancy, where I fell from the lean edge of intoxication and out of her orbiting bed of roses right onto an upright empty bottle of wine, crushing it into hungry shards that pierced the heavy seams of my jeans at my spine, even shredding my underwear, but didn't so much as scratch my skin. Remembering now the laughter like rain in the angel's sleeve in passing, wherein I glimpsed our names embroidered with beads of light. Children, still children, we've no intention whatsoever to grow up with our hands and arms positively steeped down greedily right past the elbows in this treasure trove, our love dredging up fistfuls of diamond clarity, fat happy rubies of affirmation, great glistening emeralds of encouragement, and a floor littered lately by these excavations with a slipshod dangerous presumption of pearls to remind such a light-footed dancing fool as I that I needn't necessarily break my happy neck. Can I endure it? Can it be endured? What of my former far-flung adventuring? Those lonely bootstraps I pulled myself up by, those soft and well-worn leathers of despair that served me through those winters of doubt? It's disorienting at times, an affront to one's ego, not knowing whose happiness is this to begin with. Poor, tenderized, wayward morsel that I was likely some tourist menu for gods on vacation. As they amputate the old pain, I'll be biting down on some golden bullet, then wake up, face the music, and dance.
And dance. Oh, yeah. All right, oh, yes, yeah. Sister San Antonio says, oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, Ron.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, that's Ed Bowers, Ronald Sauer, and hey, I want to put out now too. Hey Ed, hey Ron, hey Gary, I got this project that I'm putting out there that I've been putting out to for National Poetry Month to have an open mic. We're gonna have our man, the man, Jack Hirschman is going to do his speech, his State of the Art, State of the Poem, State of the City, State of the World speech at early in April for National Poetry Month. And about a week or two after that, I wanted to put forth the anarchist philosophy is that we're all poet laureates. We're all poet laureates, and have an open mic. Bring your favorite poem or read one of your own in the Board of Supervisors chambers. Did I tell you about that? But I talked to Peskin about it, and first he thought I meant at the regular meetings. Well, we have citizens' comments. I said, no, I want to talk about a night when it's usually dark. He said, well, there are days like that. This was at the coronation of Jack Hirschman in the mayor's office. It was pretty funny. Well, he said he'd work on it. He said, like, and PJ, the mayor's guy, was there too. And he said, what do you think, PJ? And PJ said, that sounds like a great idea. And it does. So I think it could sort of, if people out there give Aaron a pair and say, hey, I think that would be a good idea. Because it's empty. It's never been done before in the Board of Supervisors chamber. And they have the cameras already there because they broadcast not only streaming around the planet on the internet, but also on the cable. And they also archive it so you can watch it anytime, all the meetings of the super. So the cameras are already there. So we can video. People can watch it on the cable. They can watch it around the world on the internet. And also it's archived so you can get it anytime, like this show will be. Cool. You can pick it up any time of the day or night. So we want to work on that for April. So if you want to give them a call, anybody out there, And say, Aaron.
I got to see him sometime soon.
Yeah, say, Aaron, that'd be a great idea. And what I thought I'd do is I'll get a coalition of all the people who are doing open mics there to work on it, and then we can all do it, and everybody can have a chat.
Channel 54, too, and get them to come film.
Yeah, well, shoot. It's an idea. I think his time is ripe. Never happened before.
It's a great idea.
What's that? I hear our man in San Antonio. What was that, brother?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Good luck in getting out of there, Ed.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we're encouraging it. Send your...
I'm
going to
die here.
reach into your pocketbooks, brothers and sisters. Grab that checkbook and send a check. Send some money. Let's bring the brother back home.
To the Ed's not dead
phone. Yeah, Ed's not dead. But Ed's still here. Bring him home.
I want to go home.
Ed Bauer. Let's put it in the Bauer. So we got a nonprofit. We got a time. We need, by next time next week, we want to find a tax deductible foundation that they can send their checks and money orders to bring Ed Bauer's back.
All right.
Power back now.
Yeah, come on back. But until he does, you'll be able to hear him every week with some of the best poets in San Francisco right here. So, Ed, keep up the good work. And now we got Gary. Hey, Bo. Gary, we got about how many minutes? 13 minutes.
Yeah, following these guys, I really feel like a cheesehead from Milwaukee.
Oh, no, he's a cheesehead. Here's a cheesehead from Milwaukee, but a man who's been with the movement. He's been with the movement for many, many years. When he came to that thing I was doing that discussion I was doing, how'd you become an activist with Wavy Gravy at New College, and we talked about those old days in Madison when the movement was still fresh, struggling against the war, getting it down. And I was going back to the 50s, and you were going back to the early 60s. And you're still here, and now with the Catholic Worker. So, hey, brother.
I just want to say something about Cindy Sheehan, and not to be self-serving, but the current issue of the Street Sheet on page 4, I have an article on her called Cindy Sheehan, The Mother of Us All. The Mother of Us All was an opera by Gertrude Stein about Susan B. Anthony.
Well, shoot.
The woman is incredible. She's unbelievable. I've interviewed people for 35 years as a journalist. I've met few people, if any people, as incredible as this woman. And I just want to read one line from the story. And this will haunt me forever. George made us afraid of ghosts who aren't there. And the story basically is what she said at the speech rather than what I think. And that's what I wanted to convey.
Okay, pick up that Street Sheet. It's on a corner near to you. It's in the current issue.
Discerning street corners everywhere, yeah.
On street corners everywhere in town, within the sound of my voice, it'll be. And hey, brother. And hey, Chance Martin. And hey, everybody. And so, hey, Gary.
I'm going to read two poems. The first one's called A Flair for Hair. It's a little fantasy about art and hair. At the Picasso Hair Studio on Guernica Street, all the customers have three faces, and there's a blue period special. Across the way at Matisse's House of Beauty, ladies with green noses get a big discount, while those who frequent Jackson Pollock's leave with dripping hair and splashes of color. Andy Warhol subjects at the Hair Factory are famous for exactly 15 minutes, and those who go to Van Gogh's need to wash their ears on starry, starry nights. Magritte's has the apple cut, Giacometti's the lean. And Marcel Duchamp's coiffure descending a staircase must be seen. Chagall's fly through their hair. Monks let out a scream. Dolly's melt like watches. Back at Picasso's, there's a scene. It doesn't look like me, Pablo, the avant-garde writer preens. But it will, Gertrude, it will, Picasso gleams.
Yo, all right. That's a good one. Very nice. That's Gary. Very nice.
I'm a big Gertrude Stein fan. So.
That's great. You paint?
Do you paint, man?
Pardon?
Do you paint, too?
Do I what?
Do you paint,
Do
also?
I paint? Don't I wish?
He wishes. Go ahead. Here's part two.
I paint in my head. This one kind of came to me on Che Guevara's called Motorcycle Dreams after his diary and the movie of the same name. But I'm drinking coffee at the only Pete's that moved in next to Starbucks. They're only a block away, reversing the trend, like that gorilla coffee I saw served someplace. Dr. Ernesto Che Guevara has his face on all those T-shirts. He lost the battle but won the war. This immortal doctor, told he had half an hour to live when he was captured, did not flinch, but died a man among men without doubt mourning his life. One so full of the joy de vivre. He smiles from all those T-shirts on the chests and breasts of those who never knew him. I remember the week he died, his body displayed like John Lennon's in the National Enquirer, bullet-ridden but undaunted. Christ is not the only one God sent in his image.
Hey, Gary. That's Gary Peterson with a couple of poems. Hey, Gary. So tell us about your life. Tell us a bit. Can I do some...
Well, I was an editor of the... one of the editors of the Bugle American Underground newspaper in Milwaukee for 8 years. And on February 22nd, 1975, we were blown up by a real bomb placed by the neo-Nazis. It went off at 10 minutes after 2 in the morning and burned us to the ground.
And that was in the early 70s.
That was 75. No, they never investigated it. And there were two other bombings that day. A feminist newspaper in Bellingham, Washington was blown up, and an Indian, Native American Indian newspaper in central Wisconsin was blown up. And as far as I know, they were never investigated either.
Shoot, yeah, those were some trying times. I was here with the San Francisco Good Times. This is a time where there was in Chicago was the Chicago Seed. In Austin was the Austin. It was a really good one.
They were all great.
Yeah, the Underground Papers, yeah. Oh, the painted bird.
That's right.
The painted bird.
Speckled bird.
The speckled bird.
How's that? Yeah. The speckled bird. Do you ever, hey, man, do you ever get to Austin?
No, I haven't.
Well, you got to go to Austin. It's the closest thing to San Francisco.
That's what people keep telling me.
You got to get to Austin. It's not that far. It's 4 or 5 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only 3 hours.
3 hours. Well, hey, brother, go to Austin. Sail over. Just say, hey, greetings from San Francisco. You'll see it. You'll see it. There'll be music. There'll be poetry. There'll be beatniks. There'll be hippies. Get thee to Austin, brother. Take a break. 3 hours away. Shoot. The great speckled bird. Chicago Seed. Anyway, what's happening then?
When I get back to San Francisco,
St. Louis Outlaw, yeah.
The Minneapolis, who knew, but in every town had its own underground paper,
Milwaukee.
For sure. Liberated Press, Liberated News Service, putting it around, sharing the stuff. Well, it's time. Now we're doing it with the Indie Bay, Indie Media in every town, taking it on the next level. We just need to, we need another great revolutionary wave, do we not?
We do.
Yes,
we do.
Sure.
For sure.
Long overdue. Where the hell is it? Fuck! But we got the technology, we got the intelligence, we just got to take it out because we're going to cast that wide net, find that common thread, let life flourish, and just say, don't panic, just keep it wet, Ed.
Organic.
Well, hey, brothers and sisters, we're down in about 7 minutes, and we got it. So, Ed, you should be able to get it in a day or two if all goes well, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We can get this on the air shortly,
I'll be here
within hours sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, just go to go to indiebay.org, all that.
Yeah.
Click on radio, or you'll be able to see Diamond Dave and Dapper Dave's, what, 16th show?
16th, yeah.
16th show.
All
and
right.
It'll be on.
No,
this is
17th.
17th show.
Yeah,
17th
like that.
Show.
Yeah.
And it'll be on.
17th, yeah.
And you should be able to hear it if you got some speakers there. And so there you be, as you see.
Great.
You'll see. Just go to indiebay.org out there, folks. Click on radio, and then you click on the stream that's closest to what you can take.
All right.
Okay, Ed Bowers. Talk to you next week.
All right,
okay,
Dave.
Okay, Gary Peterson. Those are great. If you want to,
I'm telling you, those guys are great poets.
Okay, we're going to be keeping this. We're keeping it happening. You just joined the team. This has been happening. We're going to call him down to New Orleans next week too. I want to say something about my brother Felipe. Please give him some prayers. He's doing much better. He had a heart attack, but he's doing better. He's recuperating, and the beat goes on.
All right.
Hey, and hey, everybody.
Da 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 da. We're gonna miss you, light. If George Bush eats you all.
Can I say something quickly?
Sure.
I want to say hi to my daughter's mother-in-law, Bonnie Sibley, down in Portola Valley, who told me she always listens to Diamond Dave and agrees with everything he says.
Well, shoot, I don't even agree with everything I say. That's my NPR side. Okay, and now we're going to go out with Taj Mahal, and I mean, this is a double treat. This is not only Taj Mahal, but the immortal Roy Rogers. I don't mean the guy riding the horse of Dale Evans. I'm talking about the blues guy from around here, Roy Rogers and Taj Mahal. What could be better? Hey, folks, talk to you next week.